This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Welcome, one and all. Jason Morris here, Mike Wright, Andy Holloway.
Hello.
The Deucers. We found Al Borland.
Oh, Rocket Man from yesterday.
Outer space is cold, guys.
Negative 450-something degrees cold.
That's what I hear.
Which is the exact same forecast for Buffalo this weekend.
That's yeah. right, but rain.
Well, yeah, yeah. Would you, there will be.
There's no rain in space. That's one of its best attributes.
That is. Yeah, that's what they say about outer space.
Or life. No rain or life in outer space.
You want to escape the weather, just go to outer space.
You want to escape everything.
Yeah.
You just go there.
Yeah.
I'm tired of gravity.
And life.
There will be lots of fantasy players jettisoning themselves into outer space if their fantasy playoffs are disturbed by icy sleet rain, which they say is worse for the football.
Yeah, no, massive advantage.
Right, don't massive. Do not put a roof on your dome when you are
roof in, on the dome, eh?
A roof. Whoa, on your
double
stadium.
Dome, double dome. Well, hashtag yeah, double dome.
You don't want a double roof.
Look, the weather in Buffalo is to a place where we probably need two roofs.
We had the Superdome. Some of that roof blew off. If you had two roofs,
if you would have had a super duper dome.
Okay, this is a good start. The Deucers are here, all of them. Al, the Judge, the Borgogan. Speaking of the Borgogan himself, we do have a special treat for you this Friday
at
2 p.m. Eastern. The DFS crew, Matthew Betts, Kyle Borgen.
Borgononi.
Borgononi. Borgononi. Kyle Borgononi, Matthew Betts, live in studio for the very first time, ballerslive.com. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see it there, those ugly mugs with their DFS genius. They say, you know, it's like bigger brains, uglier faces.
Yeah, that's true.
They're horrific looking.
And, I mean,
and that's to your advantage, Foot Clan.
Yeah, come for the DFS advice, but stay for those Betts biceps.
Yeah. Yeah, Kyle's going to look.
Yeah, I hope you get a good pump before the show, because otherwise it's going to be a disaster. Yeah,
maybe during the show.
You have a couple of days to really start working out.
I feel pretty good on the pickleball court. That's fine.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
That's not going to help you aesthetically.
Yeah. But we're excited. They've never been live in studio sharing some DFS knowledge. If you are, this year, not all your teams are in the playoffs. You want to transition some of that mind energy into daily fantasy, prop betting, any of those things.
Which
they've done very, very well for listeners on the DFS show.
Yeah, and look, if you're still listening to this and you're not, you know, competing in the playoffs, kudos to you. Because this is one of our tips that we give every year. We should have gave it a week or two ago. Stay plugged in. through the rest of the season because stuff happens that affects next year's fantasy football season and fantasy football draft. And playing in DFS and props and everything, that is a really good way to make sure that you're still connected and you don't miss these breakouts and how they affect things moving forward.
Yeah, if you missed the playoffs last year and pretty much bailed on following the sport, you missed Amon-Ra St. Brown's true breakout. And Now, coming into this year, you might have let someone else draft him, and obviously you regret that now because he's been a dominator.
Yeah.
Another quick update before we get into the show. We've got a quick question, ride or die, NFL news, Thursday night preview, some mailbag. Lots going on in the fantasy world. But one more update. The current Megalo Bowl points leader.
Oh, it's a new one.
Is team name is Hunting for a Cup of Coffee. And the username is JSWolves89. They are 25-3. They have 2,234 points. And there are two undefeated teams. Jason looked this up yesterday. Skunk League and
I got it. It's Buckfer Skin.
Yes. Buckfer Skin himself. The playoffs are here, right?
That's right. So congratulations for having undefeated teams, the most points. It doesn't matter. It's all worthless now other than getting into the playoffs. The Mega Bowl playoffs are live. You can go to megabowl.com and check out the standings. They will be live scoring updates as soon as football is being played. The top 50% of everyone that is in the playoffs will go on to week 16. The top 50% of that week will go on to 17, and the number one score that week will be me.
So you're in.
I am in.
Nice.
Yes.
Very nice.
No planes of losing.
None whatsoever.
Quick question of the day.
Oh, we're back.
Should non-playoff teams be able to add and drop players from waivers? This is once a year.
Yeah.
We get this question a lot. I assume I'm going to be consistent with my answer. I mean, I don't remember yesterday, but I think, of course, is the answer. Like, I want people in my league participating over the back half of the year. The way we handle it in League of Record is the first two teams, like the next two teams that are out of the playoffs, they actually compete against one another over the last 3 weeks to determine fifth and sixth spot in the draft. So, you know, I think activity is good. So disincentivizing activity, you know, you want an audience for your playoffs too, right? You want all the teams in the league paying attention. You don't want them, you know, disconnecting for a number of weeks.
Yeah, I do think that they're, you know, the better leagues have something to play for after the playoffs are over for everyone. You got a toilet bowl bracket or whatever, and in those situations,
perhaps a weekly cash prize.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to incentivize and enjoy playing through the playoff weeks, even when you're out of the playoffs. Obviously, not quite as fun as going after the championship. In those situations, it's obvious, right? Everyone should be able to make transactions. In the other leagues where it's like it's not a keeper league or dynasty, and it's just one of those things where the people that are out, they don't need to set their lineups, they're not playing for anything. People get bent out of shape when they make waiver pickups. I think if the platform allows it, it's fair game. Go for it.
Yeah, and again, that's not to say collusion is okay. You can't ask one of the teams that are out of the playoffs to go pick up three quarterbacks to keep them from your opponent. That's collusion. But organic, you know, picking up of players, I'm fine with it. You know, I'm also not actively, as the commissioner, saying everybody go do it. I'm just, if it's allowed, it's allowed, like Jason said.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to check out and not make them, then feel free. It was kind of like what Mike just said about listening to the podcast when you are out of the playoffs. It is helpful to you. Staying active, staying informed, participating through the rest of the season is only going to help you as a fantasy manager. But if you want to check out, you know, you don't have to make waiver pickups, but it shouldn't be out of bounds.
Yeah, yeah. So anything to add there, Mike?
No, when I'm out of the playoffs, I'm an angry person.
Yeah.
And I share that anger, and I try and spread it around the league by making pickups. Like, sorry. The other side of the argument of, like, well, in a professional league, the people that are in the playoffs are the only teams playing for something. The other teams aren't doing. I totally understand that side of the argument. But we are not playing that sport. We are playing fantasy football, where things are very different, where when a quarterback rushes for 10 yards, it's the same as them throwing for 25 yards. We play a different game. So I play within the context of my game and my rules. And if I'm in pain, that's all I want other people to feel.
And you don't rage drop players.
No,
that makes people better.
Yeah.
You're like, what? That is, it's the craziest maneuver of,
screw this league.
Yeah, you think you're saying, I'm taking my ball and going home, except, no, you're going home and you're leaving all your possessions on the court for everybody else to pick up and enjoy. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And I know people have different, Jason mentioned the
I don't want my wallet anymore. It's full of money. I hope you enjoy it.
I'm going home. Yeah. Naked.
Oh, crap. I can't afford to get an Uber anymore.
Now, Jason mentioned the toilet bowl. You know, some leagues, they take the direction of playing a competition for the number one pick. I'm very against that. Like, I don't believe that that's the best. Like, if reverse order of draft picks is set up for the purpose of making the worst teams better, like in a dynasty or keeper league, I'm saying for an example, I don't want to compete. You know, I don't want to let the fifth and sixth seed dominate the end of year bracket to get a better pick. But there are probably some creative ways that you could do that. You know, we do a lottery for our top four picks. You could do something where a win during those final eliminated weeks earns you, you know, an extra ball in the lottery, so to speak. There are some ways that you could probably handle that don't give an advantage to the better teams because, you know, that's the whole point of reverse order.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, you probably would have won more games if you had a good team. So.
It does help, though, if you're saying, like, if the biggest problem is that you're concerned about is people tanking and just losing on purpose, if you're saying, no, you have to win to incentivize things for the picks.
You can't win when you're the worst.
Well, yes and no. I would agree with you in a keeper and dynasty setting. Like, our main league is a keeper league, so there's a lot of transactions that are made for the future, and teams that are bad get worse because teams that are trying to buy and make them worse in the here and now. But if it's just a redraft league where...
Yeah, but then you're not determining draft order based on that. In a redraft league, you just draw out of a hat again the next year.
Well, you can, or you could say, hey, we're gonna set up the draft order based on the rest of the season, and that seems fun to me.
All right, ride or die.
Ride or die, presented by Chevrolet.
All right, last week, Mike rode with DJ Moore.
I rode with heart, and it was broken.
It was a foolish ride.
It was.
But he did ride with Najee Harris, who ended up as RB15.
Which, that was brain. That was just process of elimination.
And then Jason and I, we successfully went against Dak Prescott against Houston.
Nailed the game script.
Houston once again just giving up one touchdown to Dak. They're a terrible matchup for quarterbacks. Week 15, ride or die. Brooks, what do you have for us?
All right, guys. A lot of people asking about this guy. Alvin Kamara coming back from the bye versus the Falcons. Can he be a top 15 running back? Can we get to that?
Not even letting us talk. We're already trying to juice him up.
Well,
I mean, you should have the opposite sound, like when the... Yeah, I mean, that's like a death sound or when the mushroom goes away.
I will follow suit with the sound, though, because I will be riding with Alvin Kamara. I think he is a top 15 running back this week. The bye week.
Did you know that Andy Dalton's still the quarterback?
Yeah, Andy Dalton is still the quarterback. I think the bye week is going to be helpful for them as a team. You've got Mark Ingram on IR. The matchup against Atlanta is great. Weeks and weeks and weeks ago, we had a playoff primer. We were talking about the playoff schedule being great for Alvin Kamara. We did bring up that getting to the playoffs was a brutal schedule for Alvin Kamara, and you felt every ounce of that over the last little while he has stunk. I know it's hard. He is someone that I think a lot of players are going to have a difficult decision with this week. I'm riding with Kamara. I think he's a great play this week.
Mike?
I'm going to ride, baby. Jason laid it out. No Mark Ingram.
Did you know that Andy Dalton is the quarterback?
Unfortunately, I do know that. But no Ingram to take away touches with his unfortunate injury. And the matchup against the Atlanta Falcons, I think, is one that Kamara will exploit.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to ride. Jerry Jeudy, 10 fantasy points this week.
This is the
tough one. He's taking on the Cardinals.
I loved him last week. And I'm going to ride with him again.
Ooh.
This is a great line. It really is tough because the Cardinals are falling apart. They're usually pretty good against wide receivers, not like, you know, New York Jets level, but they get scored on elsewhere, tight end, running back. But Jerry Jeudy is, you know, the guy that's alone here. It's a really good line. 10 fantasy points, I think, is about where he should be scoring. I looked at his game log. He's only done it once this year without a touchdown. So I feel like this is in, you know, a big part of this is, will he get a touchdown? I'm going to bet against him, so I will choose die.
He is, like, looking at his box scores and trying to navigate everything, it's pretty difficult of trying to just get all the context involved. And when actually healthy and playing his full allotment of snaps, he's been good more often than he has been bad. But it's just his snap percentages and energies and injuries have kind of been all over the place. So it's difficult to figure out just exactly who is Jerry Jeudy. But I'm going to ride. I'm going to take the 10 points. The Arizona Cardinals defeated, kind of feel like they're just wrapping up the season now, especially with Kyler Murray being out. They have defensive injuries as well. So I'm going to ride.
Tua Tagovailoa taking on Buffalo in the weather.
I'm out.
two passing touchdowns for Tua this week against Buffalo. I'm going to ride. I think he will.
Okay.
I think he'll pick up a couple touchdowns against the Buffalo defense. It's a very important game. I expect a good game plan from Mike McDaniel.
Ooh, you went full in sync.
I ride.
Yeah, you did.
Ride. Yeah, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go two. Tua for two.
Yeah, it's another good line, but I think Waddle is still waddling a little bit. He's had two different stretches this year where he's kind of come up lame in a game and never, he has not missed a game. He has played through whatever injuries, but he hasn't always been the, you know, when he's full go, he's unstoppable. I'm going to wait until that happens. The fact that they're in a bad weather environment against the Bills defense, it's looking better and better over the last couple of weeks. And Tua has looked not quite as good the last few weeks. So I will bet against Tua getting Tua touchdowns and die.
Yeah, my confidence level in Tua this week is low. I'm going to say die on this one. Two touchdowns should be easy for him to get. Like, he can have a bad game and still hit the two touchdown line. So trying to, you know, set your expectations here is difficult. But Andy, your confidence level in Tua, where are you at as far as, like, would you be going Jared Goff? Goff against the New York Jets. You'd stick with Tua?
Yes.
What about the super streamer of the week, Mike White?
No, I'm sticking with Tua.
You go with Tua? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there's tremendous risk with Mike White and the ribs and potentially getting a big hit in that game. I love, if everything goes according to plan, should be a really big week for him.
But Mike White or Tua?
For Mike White.
Okay.
But Tua has elite weapons, very important game, and I think higher upside.
Okay.
All right, that was Ride or Die presented by Chevy Silverado. Learn more about Chevy Silverado at Chevy.com.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by USAA Insurance.
Dallas Goedert can return.
Yeah, Jay, we pumped.
Yeah, we're
come on, man, he's healthy.
Soup's pumped.
Why would you be?
Well, so in league of record, I've got Devontae Smith stack with Jalen Hurts, and so it's difficult. But it is good that Dallas Goedert is back. It's good for Jalen Hurts, who's really, he didn't change much as far as his fantasy value losing Goedert. But I know there's a lot of playoff teams that snuck in with Goedert. My son's got Goddard in a playoff league, our shadows league. So that, you know, it's good to get him back. Are you throwing him right into the starting lineup?
If he plays, yes.
It would depend on my other options. If I had David Njoku or Dallas Goedert coming right back off the injury. I mean, that's a tough decision for me.
Yeah, I think that the teams that made the playoffs found a serviceable pivot, like a Gerald Everett.
Oh, I'd play Goedert over Gerald Everett for sure. What about Greg D?
No, I'd probably go back to Goedert in that situation.
So certainly everything is always contextual, but I think that there are very few tight
Taysom
ends.
Taysom Hill.
Oh, give me Dallas Goedert.
Okay. Pat Freiermuth played through a foot injury on Sunday. 57% of snaps dealing with injury now.
Yeah, which sucks. That sucks to hear, but that is at least good, because I don't remember what show me and Jay were talking about it of. Maybe it was Monday. The snaps for the Muth have not been Luth, and it's been perplexing of what is going on. Why are they not playing Freiermuth more? And now you have an actual explanation.
Yeah, but that doesn't solve the problem.
No, that's what I said.
For the playoffs, what do you do?
It sucks. I mean, more than likely, you're still playing the Muth. More than likely.
Yeah, he's been...
Dallas Goedert.
Oh, Dallas Goedert.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's somebody that, you know, people had.
But it's like...
He's consensus number 8 for us right now on the week, so he's not an auto start.
No, he's definitely not. I mean, do you chase the big performance of Schmingram against Dallas? Cole Kmet's been pretty hot. He was on bye week, so you completely forget that Cole Kmet and the Chicago Bears have been doing all right. He gets to take on the Philadelphia Eagles. You get Tyler Conklin in what should be a plus matchup against the Detroit Lions.
What about Chig, Okonkwo, or Njoku? Would you play both of those guys over the Muth?
I would.
With the foot injury?
I'd probably play Njoku, but I would not play Okonkwo over Muth.
What about Jeff Driskel at tight end?
Oh, Driskel. So that's part of our news is saying so Aaron Wilson, Texas reporter, says that he's expecting that both Mills and Jeff Driskel will continue to platoon the position. But head coach Lovie Smith would not commit to doing it. He's probably doing the football thing of, I'm not going to give away my game plan. So if we get any kind of news, or you believe that Jeff Driskel is going to be 50% of the snaps at the quarterback position, I would go with him over the Muth.
I was mostly joking. I didn't know you were going to give me a real professional answer. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mike White, ready to roll. Zach Wilson moved up to number 2 on the depth chart. Romeo Doubs expects to play. Expects to play on Monday.
Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Does it throw a wrench into your Christian Watson?
It'll be something to watch. I believe I would continue starting Christian Watson. Get off the boat that is on fire. I mean, eventually you do want to exit boats when they're on fire.
If a boat was on fire, I'd go right in the water.
That's a bad thing.
Well,
he's not a boat on fire.
Well, maybe it's more like a Viking funeral.
That's the Cardinals.
He's like a speedboat at maximum speed right now. So
the fire's behind him.
Yeah,
just pushing him forward.
I don't know if there's any fire, man.
Yeah, maybe you're afraid that the boat's going too fast and is going to flip.
So why do you need a fire boat?
Well, NBA NBA Jam rules require that
there's
fire.
There's no boats
here
in NBA Jam.
But then I went with the boating
it's a basketball
analogy.
Game.
And so
don't get this many analogies in one sentence.
I need both of them. I need a boat and I need fire, and I need to figure out how we're safe. We are on the water with fire.
We don't need the water, man.
It's the boat that I'm riding on. Yes, I am going to...
I'm jumping from the boat to the jet ski, and we're going off the waterfall.
Regardless, you stay in the flames wherever you are.
Not the water.
Unless it's a boat.
Which you said to jump off of. I'm so confused.
Just play Christian Watson. Just play him.
All right. That's helpful.
Yeah, pay attention to Doubs being active. Are you picking up Doubs in hopes that he is?
No.
Yeah, no, I'm not interested.
No, Christian Watson has broken out.
We're not going to get Cooper Kupp back, according to Sean McVay. We have Saturday games this week. Don't forget, 3 Saturday games. Jeff Wilson is one of them. Non-participant in Tuesday. Tyreek was limited. He should be okay. But Jeff Wilson, someone to watch. You have a game where the running game could factor in significantly. The Dolphins going to Buffalo. Raheem Mostert could be the guy.
Yeah, he will.
Amari Cooper, non-participant on Tuesday. That's not surprising.
It's an estimated.
Yeah. I expect him to get a little bit of rest as he prepares for a pretty big matchup for the Browns. Tyler Huntley, limited. Lamar, DNP.
But he's questionable. Good news.
Mike taking issue with the platforms currently, keeping Lamar unquestionable.
It's not necessarily the platforms, because they're just pulling in from the stat providers. I understand that. But to have an estimated 3-week injury for Lamar Jackson, and he has not practiced in 2 weeks, and to say, well, maybe, like, just stop. Just stop.
This is the Ravens just holding out hope that he heals, and they don't want to rule him out, so the platforms can't.
And I'm super excited for the press conference with Coach Harbaugh around Saturday when they say it'll probably be Huntley. And then he'll go to doubtful, and you still can't do anything about it. So enjoy.
But an hour before kickoff, Mike, you'll be able to move him to IR.
Yeah, I have the sight when it comes to calling games, but Mike has it as it comes to, you know, how the coach will handle the injury report for the rest of the week. All right, that was today's News and Notes presented by our friends at USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance. Back in a second.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you know, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long, and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Well, we're not done with the Thursday night football games. We've got a big one this week. Time to break it down.
Thursday night breakdown.
The San Francisco 49ers, they're 9-4. They take on the Seattle Seahawks, who are 7-6. DraftKings Sportsbook line right now, San Francisco -3 on the road against Seattle. The over-under is 43.5. Brock Purdy is expected to play. Still listed as questionable. The sportsbook obviously has him playing. This is not a Josh Johnson line. San Francisco won 27-7 in week two. It's the game we lost Trey Lance before we lost Jimmy G. And San Francisco ran the ball 45 times in that game.
It was also, so it was week two, and this was the Seahawks were coming off of the week one upset of the Denver Broncos. And it was, what do we have here with the Seattle Seahawks? Then they went and got absolutely torched. Geno Smith's by far his worst fantasy game of the season. I'm seeing him at quarterback 30. He scored 6.1 points, sub 200 yards, no touchdowns, threw a pick. Tyler Lockett was okay in this particular matchup, but it was because it was week two, we didn't know what Geno was yet. So then, of course, everybody abandoned ship of what is the possibility of Geno, and then, of course, over the next few weeks, he reestablished his value. So where are we? I think Geno Smith is the most important question for this matchup of, do you look at week two and say it's kind of prescriptive because the 49ers defense is so great, divisional matchup, Shanny knows the Seahawks, Because everything starts there.
It's hard for me to see, to have enough confidence in Geno Smith this week with the matchup. And I looked at this for so long. I don't have a good gauge on the way this game's going to go. Like, sometimes you see a line or, you know, there's questions on both sides of the ball here.
Sure.
You don't have Deebo Samuel. You're going to be without him for a little while. You're going on the road to a harsh environment, San Francisco is, where Brock Purdy's going to have a challenge. But the Seattle defense has really kind of slowed down from a much better start against fantasy options. You have a 32nd ranked defense against running backs where, you know, San Francisco, that's their identity. They're going to run it down your throat. Christian McCaffrey, Jordan Mason, they're going to be able to do that successfully. And then you're going to be put, like, my worry is that they go up 14-0 right out of the gate, because I don't think
the 49ers.
Yeah. The 49ers. Right. I don't think that Seattle is going to have the passing game success necessary facing that pass rush in a negative game script. This is the number one team against quarterbacks, giving up 12.1 fantasy points per game. Number one against running backs. We don't know if Ken Walker is going to be...
He did practice.
Fully healthy. But yes, he looks like he's going to play. I don't think I'm wanting to play Geno this week. That's just what my gut says, and he's been so good.
I think with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, they have been good enough. They are talented enough on their own, and that is kind of where you beat the San Francisco 49ers is, you know, the wide receivers get enough where you can start them. You're not excited about them. But even though you're able to start Metcalf and Lockett, I'm benching Geno Smith, who's been incredible. The last 5 weeks, he's been absolutely fantastic. Granted, it's been a good stretch of games. Next week against Kansas City, if you're prioritizing playoff matchups, oh, man. Oh, baby, I'm in on Geno. But I'm benching him this week. I don't want him against the San Francisco 49ers. And I think the 49ers are going to – I think they're going to run the ball 40 times in this game.
What about 49?
Oh, yes. I really miss – they're going to run the ball 49ers times this game. early Monday, my first thing I did when I was looking at DraftKings lineups for this week, I was like, I don't care if he's 20,000, I'm putting Christian McCaffrey in my lineup. And then he was Thursday night, so I couldn't put him on the main slate. But I do think that, you know, we saw this with Carolina. Carolina, even though Geno ended up with a good game, they were able to have these long, excruciating drives where it's like San Francisco just doesn't get the ball because they cannot stop the run right now. Seattle. They can't stop the run right now, and I think we're going to see that from San Francisco.
San Francisco's fantasy points given up the last five games to quarterbacks. I'm going to read their totals. 13, 10.3, 10.3, 14.8, 12.1. Not a lot of upside right there.
So,
you know, most of those games are at home. I will say that. But it's been...
Let's fire up some names here. Super streamer Mike White or Geno.
I'll take the shot on Mike White.
Trevor Lawrence, who's been red hot, but he plays the Dallas Cowboys.
Give me Trevor.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers, Monday night against the Los Angeles Rams.
Give me Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Okay.
Names have now been fired up, and it's over. Christian McCaffrey, play him.
Yeah.
Kenneth Walker, full practice.
Oh, gosh.
So, Kenneth Walker is not... I mean, was it yesterday? Was it Walker where you were saying the gift might be if they just leave him out?
Yep. And now
I think you have to, like, I'd play Mostert over Kenneth Walker.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, if Kenneth Walker practices in full this whole week, which it seems like he's going to since he did on Tuesday, if he doesn't have a setback and he practices in full, you would imagine he's going to be healthy and ready to go for this game. And that is brutal because he should be not an auto start in this matchup. He should be someone that you consider. You look at your other options, and yeah, you could play him, but I don't think the upside against San Francisco is really there.
All right, I'm going to give you some names. Rashad White against the Cincinnati Bengals.
I'm all about Rashad White.
Okay. Jamal Williams, who was
Jason?
Was a touchdown machine, and now he takes on the Jets.
I'll go Jamal Williams.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I have more confidence in him getting a touchdown than, against the San Francisco 49ers.
A.J. Dillon against the Los Angeles Rams.
I think we've gone too far.
You'll go Cam Walker?
Yeah.
Okay.
George Kittle. Lots of questions around George Kittle. Left the number 2 overall finish in week 11. He's been 25, 30, and 15. You know, five targets, cool. I'll take five targets, but 28 yards, 22 yards, 26 yards, not a fan. If you have Evan Engram.
I actually think George Kittle's a good start this week. I almost made him my start of the week.
Ooh, yeah, spicy.
The matchup against Seattle is, you know, on the course of the season has been really good. If you adjust for schedule, it's great. And the fact that Debo is gone, if you look at George Kittle's history, when Debo or Ayuk is off the field, either one of them, he has been far more involved in the game plan. The fact that this is a matchup that you can exploit the tight end position, and he's getting enough targets, he's athletic enough. You know, you've got to, you know, if you're considering, because he has been bad since Christian McCaffrey came and they've, you know, gone away from Kittle, I think you're questioning, like, oh, do I go to Njoku or Everett or those types? And I'm firing up George Kittle in those matchups this week.
Brandon Ayuk looks like a great start moving forward, getting the ball downfield and in his games without Debo. Averaging 12.8 fantasy points per game, 8 targets, 60 receptions. The question would be whether Seattle can keep up a little bit and force the passing game. Jason brought up how often they're going to run. I agree with that. So that's the other question mark there. Brock Purdy, not a streaming option?
I think he is. I mean, mostly because the streaming options this week are pretty brutal. I would hope I don't have to. So... But, I mean, desperate times. And then
well,
on the,
what about in this matchup? I mean, would you take Brock Purdy or Geno Smith?
Ooh, that's a – oh, man.
I would go Geno.
I'd go Geno. Yeah. I'd stick with him. I mean, Lockett is in. Do you make anything of DK Metcalf's 4 for 35 against San Francisco? I mean – that was on the road. So are you
not
just –
really. I mean, he is just force-fed the football, and he's big enough for it to not matter who's playing against him. I was looking at him in you know, Thursday night DFS decisions, and I feel good enough to play him. He's earned it.
Cool.
All right, into the mailbag we go.
Mailbag.
Mailbag. Yeah. If you have a question for the show, you can go to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com, click the Submit a Question button, or dial the voicemail hotline, 302-464-TFFB. One headline from the website. TheFantasyFootballers.com. The start-sit tool has gotten a little bit of a makeover. It is much snappier.
Upgrade.
It's like a boat that's like on fire. They got struck by lightning.
Yeah.
And then doused, and everyone was real safe.
Yeah.
And then the boat was just there, and you're like, sweet, I'm on a boat.
A classic tale.
Yeah. The lightning turned it into a yacht, though.
Hmm. What, like a superpowers thing?
Yeah. Because it was on fire, and then the lightning, it was like, pow, it's a yacht.
I feel like we're right in the middle of Boom Boom Kicker all over again. But check it out. The start tool is generally one of the more popular tools throughout the entire year. It helps you break down, like, the whole point of this show, and again, we're here. If you want to treat us like a punching bag, we're here to take the blame for whatever went wrong in your league.
Maybe you. At Andy Holloway.
All right, okay. I'm here to take the blame. But my point being is, even with the start-sit tool, you know, we're giving you the choice we'd make, but we're also giving you an outlay of all the context, right? Like, what's the situation for these two players, the different ways of looking at it. The truth is, and we've seen this evolution in fantasy football over the last 10, 15 years in general. You know, we used to live in the world of, you know, non-decimal scoring and touchdown-only leagues. The nuance and detail starts to emerge within the fantasy football world. You know, the progression of that is how you make a decision. It's not simply, do I start Aaron Jones or J.K. Dobbins? That question alone isn't enough to make the right decision for your football team, because you need to factor in the other players you're playing, your opponent. Do you need upside? Do you need a floor? There's a lot of nuance, and so our job, as I view it at least, beyond being the punching bag, is to give you tools and equip you to make those decisions for your team, your league, your scoring system. That's our aim. That's what we're trying to do. So start-sit tool is a piece of the puzzle for your team, but you're making that decision. And I'll tell you, when I get the tweets about, thanks for, you know, helping me get to the playoffs, those are cool to see. I just say, you did it, man. I mean, you did it.
Yeah, I did do it. Thank you, Andy.
We may have, you know.
I see what you're saying.
You know, like we're the guy at the bottom of the wall, just giving a little boost.
Yeah, step on my back.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump into a voicemail.
What's up, guys? My name is Beto. I'm a 911 dispatcher, and I'm the one with the emergency now. I need to know, do I start Amon-Ra St. Brown's against a tough defense, or do I start Kenneth Walker against another tough defense on my flex? Thanks, guys. Love the show.
Well, I certainly have a pretty quick answer here. I assume you guys are in the same boat.
Yep. If both matchups are bad, I will go with the absolute budding superstar who is not currently coming off of injury. Most leagues now are at least half PPR or PPR. Amon-Ra should be fine, even though it is a difficult matchup.
Amon-Ra St. Brown targets since week 8. 10, 9, 11, 8, 10, 12, 9. Give me that baseline. Let the chips fall. I'll be happy. All right, another voicemail question.
Hey, footballers. My waiver's just cleared, and I have a decision to make. PPR, should I start Mr. Ingram himself, Schmeppen, or the newly acquired Donovan Knight as my last flex? Oh. Thanks, guys. Love the show. Foot Clan, let's bring home those titles. Let's ride.
Oh, man. Look, Schmeppen, he likes to disguise himself in the form of a player that catches one pass for 4 yards or three passes for 14 yards. In between, you know, going 4 for 55 and a touchdown, 55! Or last week's absolutely insane game. And if last week was the pattern, he wouldn't be on his second team. And
that was the best game of his career.
Yeah, and it will be. So I would go Bam.
I mean, this isn't. I'm not starting Evan Ingram. Like I realize he was awesomely involved, and maybe in certain DFS situations, or if you're getting a specific value, or, you know, obviously some people are backed into where they just don't have any good options. But I am not chasing last week. He's coming
off
the
flex.
He is coming off of back to back weeks where he had great matchups. Over the last 6 weeks, the number one fewest points given up to tight end is the Dallas Cowboys. Over the course of the season, fewest points given up to tight ends is the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not chasing Schmevin Schmingram here. Zonovan Bam has looked great. Detroit is not a great matchup for running backs, but he's going to touch the ball a heck of a lot more than Evan Ingram. This one is Bam to me.
I agree.
All right, Twitter question from Jonas. How confident are you in J.K. Dobbins this week?
My name is Jonas. Thank you.
Consensus RB21 on the week right now. Cleveland's dead last in expected points per rush attempt, 30th against fantasy running backs. It's been quite delicious to play against Cleveland's defense. But the recipe, I mean, has to be to shut this running game down and make Tyler Huntley do everything. How confident are you with J.K.?
I mean, that's their recipe, but the Baltimore Ravens recipe is – establish the run. I think we're going to see a lot of J.K. Dobbins, a lot of Gus Edwards. And like right now we have J.K. Dobbins sitting in just inside the top 24, and I think he belongs there. I think that he is a top 24 play. I'm not expecting another, you know, huge breakoff run and then a touchdown, but I expect that he is a starter. He's an RB2 starter this week.
What about the aforementioned Bam Knight? Would you play Bam Knight, or would you play, man, J.K.? And I'm with you, Mike. I think I lean the J.K. like positively towards what he's going to start doing.
I agree. I have J.K. and Zonovan back to back in my rankings. If I had to start one of them, I'm going to go with J.K. Dobbins. I'm gonna try to get the guy on the upswing.
Any regrets, Jason, on not naming either of your male children Zonovan?
There are massive regrets, okay, but only with one of them.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's a name I had never heard.
I like that it implies that one of your kids has a bad name.
Well,
and you don't want to say which one.
Well, one of them has a great name. So,
all righty, we are going to jump into another voicemail.
Hey, footballers, big fan coming out of Squim, Washington. I have a huge question. I have Jared Goff, and my opponent this week in the playoffs has Amon-Ra St. Brown and DJ Chark. Do I play Goff to counter him? Let me know. I also have Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson to play.
Okay.
Thank you.
I thought it was, do I play Jared Goff? If he's your only quarterback, I would recommend it. Okay.
Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence were the other two quarterbacks.
Watson is out.
Yeah.
Voldemort looks like absolute trash right now.
Until
still had 20 fantasy points last week.
Until you see great play, I would agree. Trevor Lawrence is, to me, a better play this week in general.
Against, like, Dallas?
You know, it's not the world's best matchup, but we've talked about how the matchup is bad for Goff. He's on the road. You know, things could go poorly for Goff in a vacuum this week, but also you don't really counter the wide receivers. I mean, you can get lucky where you play Goff and then all of a sudden it's a Jameson Williams day and his guys don't get the points and you do. But usually when you've got a quarterback going against two primary receiving options, those plays are negative for you. The wide receivers are going to score more points on each one of those completions. And it'll be a net negative for you even when there's a big touchdown, you know, with Goff. The only reason to do that is if the rest of your roster is, like, so much more dominant than the rest of his roster.
Right.
Then it's more of a cancel-out situation. But I would go Trevor Lawrence in that situation.
Yeah, you need to look at the context of it because, like, playing out the scenarios of how can your team win this particular matchup. I'll give you an example. Earlier on in the season, Kyle and I were matched up against a team that had a much higher projection, really high upside, and it was, okay, we're going to play Lamar as our running back two. Do we go with Gus Edwards? Because he was a decent play, looking okay at that time. But it was going through the game script of working it out. Okay, let's say Lamar and Gus Edwards, they split a couple touchdowns. That actually didn't work out in our favor. It was the only way the scenario works out that we can win is we play Lamar and Gus Edwards doesn't get touchdowns. They all go to Lamar. So I think that's a scenario you need to look at of if Jared Goff is enough to counter these other two guys, or is the scenario you're projecting the Lions just have a crap game and that's your way, that's your path to victory.
Well, I mean, and to put a ball on it from my perspective, I don't even think about opponents having my wide receivers in any capacity, because at the end of the day, my roster has, if I get 20 fantasy points from Goff and it counters 100% of those two players, or I get 25 fantasy points from Trevor Lawrence, I mean, I want the 25. I don't care if it's directly corollary on the cancellation of those players. I want the player that's going to score the most points independent of that scenario. I will factor it in a little bit if I was thinking about, boy, I might start DJ Chark because my opponent's starting Jared Goff. Maybe I'd think a little bit that direction on a fringe flex player.
Sure.
But, you know, it's not going to affect me if I have Amon-Ra, and it's not going to affect me if I have Goff. So, you know, this week...
Who do you have just on your rankings right now between Goff and Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson?
I would play Lawrence, and then I'd play Goff, and then I'd play Watson.
That's how my rankings
are as
well.
That's how I have it, too.
Yeah. So I do think I think brighter days are coming for Voldemort. I do. There's going to be some pain involved, rust coming off. But you've seen Donovan Peoples-Jones. He's been pretty good.
Yeah.
And we know that Amari Cooper's been banged up, so I don't know how much that factors in. I do think there's going to be some brighter days fantasy-wise for Watson.
There could be. This week against Baltimore, I mean, I don't love it. This past week against Cincinnati, another divisional game, he completed 26 passes, 276 yards, and one touchdown. Had a pick. Like, it's not looked good.
If you look at the Ravens' defense against quarterback, the beginning of the year, they were just a matchup to target.
Yep.
And really, since week 9, and remember, they got Roquan Smith. That's really improved their defense. They have been a tough matchup for quarterbacks.
Definitely don't hear me prescribing you use Deshaun Watson this week. He's at the bottom of that list.
Okay.
I just mean for the future. I think, you know, his ability to scramble, he's the kind of player that gives you a nice baseline once he gets things together or the matchup is advantageous. Like, I would not be surprised if a Deshaun Watson start in the fantasy playoffs proves beneficial for fantasy players. And then one final question here on Instagram. What's the deal with Travis Etienne? This comes in from TCena674.
What's the I mean, the deal is he's been garbage for fantasy football. That's the deal. Are you asking why?
So he had a stretch of games that was a five-game run, weeks 5 through 9. The departure of James Robinson came out of it. He was a top 24 all 5 weeks, double digits all 5 weeks.
Top 10 the final three games of that stretch.
And every other game in the entire year has been single digits.
The last 2 weeks, he has 16 opportunities and 17 opportunities. He is extremely involved in the offense. It has turned into 6 fantasy points and 3 fantasy points. What that was, is devastating.
What was he knocked out in week 12? He played Baltimore, played 8%. It was a foot. So,
but he's been out there and.
But I'm saying that it's since he got knocked out. I mean, perhaps you count the game against Kansas City before the bye week where it wasn't fantastic. But
he was also 4.2 last week. He just didn't do anything.
Right, but Travis Etienne, when you had that 5-game run in the middle of the season, it was because I know a huge play.
Yep.
Will happen at some point during the game for Travis Etienne. He could be 2 yards a carry for 16 attempts, and that 17th is going to go 40, 50 yards.
It's a good point, Mike.
So if his foot is really bothering him, I think that might be what the deal is with Etienne.
Look at his long runs during that stretch. 30, 48, 49, 49.
Yeah.
Last three games, 3, 13, and 7.
There you go. He's not hitting a big play.
And he's got back-to-back difficult matchups. Again, the last 2 weeks, Detroit, we've been talking about how good they've been against running backs. Tennessee, they're great against running backs. Brutal matchups. This week against Dallas, very good against running backs. The following week against the Jets, another bad matchup. So Travis Etienne, someone where we just talked about 16 attempts or opportunities, 17 opportunities. You could play him, but you can't expect big games right now. Week 17
Houston,
you hope that he wins championships.
Would you play Brian Robinson against the Giants or Travis Etienne?
That I'd probably still go Etienne, but
I would.
But the problem is that 5-game stretch for Etienne put it in your brain that he was a auto start every week, and maybe we're adjusting that view based on this recent production.
Yeah, I would stick with Etienne.
The crazy part is after the foot injury, he played the most snaps of the entire year. He came back out and played 88% of snaps. So don't know what's going on right now. I suppose that game would have been better if he hadn't fumbled and lost the ball, but Jason's right. Dallas, New York, I don't want those games.
Yeah, it's rough.
He's a running back 3 that is startable and benchable depending on your options for this week and next week. And then he's a locked-in starter for Houston.
So tell me the truth then. Is he too big or not? Is he too small? What's the size situation? Because
he
was too small for a while, then he was not too small, but is he too small again?
I think he's a little too small, or his bone structure is weird because I've never seen someone get hit so hard as Etienne. Every time he gets, it's like, for some reason, he puts himself in these situations where he lets defenders have a running start at him.
That's how he fumbled, too. He got exploded.
He's had like 4 explosion fumbles this year where he gets out to the edge, he's running, and then it's like the fake videos of a high school game where the kid on a Make-A-Wish Foundation is blown up. That's how it looks.
Just like a pontoon boat out on the water on fire.
Exactly. Just you see me,
Andy. The classic football analogy. All right, that is it for today's show. Thank you, Jason. You look good in that hoodie.
Oh, thank you. You look good in that hoodie.
Oh, Andy. Wow, thank you. Yeah. Don't forget.
Get a hoodie, Mike.
Spotify Live this afternoon. Join us.
See you then, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.